Thanksgiving. It has been a good time, and I know that I have truly been blessed, and so it was good to stop and take some time to say thanks and take some time to spend with family. So I hope you all had the same opportunity. Good to see you all here. If you've traveled, I'm glad you're back safe. If you haven't traveled, I hope you're on the way back safe. And whatever it takes, right? We do have some that are still traveling, and we want to lift them up in prayer today, too. If you have your Bibles with you, we are going to be looking at Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 13 through 15. And I wanted to follow up on the theme that is part of our mission theme, to go tell. Margie kicked off our mission offering emphasis today, and I think it's important that we focus on that mission. One of the greatest ways for us to say thanks to God is to be busy about His business, to be doing what He would have us to do. And this passage is talking about the issue of doing God's business. So if you don't mind standing with me as we read the Word of God, we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 15. Begins in that 13th verse and says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the name of the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Would you pray with me? Father, we do come today grateful for the good news that you have shared with each and every one of us. Lord, we're in your house today because someone shared with us the love of Christ. We thank you for that blessing. We thank you for that privilege and that opportunity. And Lord, it is an important task you've given us to go and tell. So, Father, help us commit ourselves to doing that task. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. As Margie shared with you all earlier, this is the time of year that Southern Baptists promote the mission offering for world missions. I don't know if you realize just how important this offering is, but it is a significant part of our effort to win the world for Jesus Christ, to win the lost. See, the Southern Baptist Convention was formed back in 1845, and ever since its beginning, its inception, it has always made missions a priority. In matter of fact, the Great Commission to go into all the world and make disciples is the driving force behind the Southern Baptist Convention. It is one of the most evangelistic denominations that is out there, and we make a dedicated effort to win the world for Jesus Christ. The Foreign Mission Board, or the International Mission Board, which is formally called the Foreign Mission Board, has been a major part of the convention ever since it began. That was why Southern Baptists came together, because they felt the concern and the need and the desire to tell others the love of Jesus Christ. Well, the Lighting Christmas offering is an important part of that, and the reason it's an important part of that is because almost 50% of the International Mission Board's budget comes from the Lighting Christmas offering. Did you realize that? Almost half. That's why this offering is so necessary and so important, because the money goes for the support of over 5,000 missionaries. And those 5,000 missionaries are spread all over the globe, and they're doing everything they can to win the rest of the world while we're here in America to Jesus Christ. Now, just so you'll get a picture of all this, it costs an average of $41,258.77 a year to support just one missionary. That's just one. We have over 5,000, and there is a need for at least 3,000 more. In other words, we need at least 8,000 missionaries just to begin to accomplish the task that God has set before us. Last year, the 5,000 plus missionaries we have were able to start 25,497 new churches in other countries. Through their efforts and through the efforts of those churches, 609,968 new believers were baptized. Pretty successful year, pretty significant year. And it's important that we give and go so that this can be done. Now, before we get overly excited about the great results we had, I want to put a little bit of this in perspective. 609,000 new baptized believers is significant. It is. We ought to celebrate that. But in the world today, there are 11,573 people groups. Those 11,573 people groups represent 6.6 billion people. That's a lot of people on this planet. And out of that 11,000 plus people group, there are 6,508 people groups that have little or no evangelistic representation in their country. That group makes up over half of the world's population. That group totals 3.8 billion people. And that 3.8 billion people, less than 2% of them know Jesus Christ. Now, if we have 3.8 billion people and less than 2% of them know Jesus Christ, you know what that means? That means there are 3.7 billion people in this world who still do not know about the Savior, who still haven't heard the gospel, and they're lost and dying without hope for eternal life. That's a significant task, isn't it? That's a bold task. And I'm sure you're sitting there thinking, just like I am, you know what? There's no way on God's green earth we can do something about 3.7 billion people. Because I look out here and there's about 60 of us here today. Now, I don't know if you've done the math on that, but, you know, if we divided the 60 of us up and we all went out and tried to reach our share of 3.7 billion people, I don't think there's enough days left in our lives to just, if we talk to 100 people a day, I don't think there's enough days left in our lives to tell everyone about Jesus Christ. Do you know what the beauty of this is? It's not all up to us. There's 42,000 other Southern Baptist churches in the convention that are all trying to do the same thing. So with a concerted effort, we can accomplish this. And you know why I know we can accomplish this? Because we have an awesome and mighty God. We're not doing this task alone. It's important that we understand the task, but it's even more important to realize that the task isn't just up to us. But we have to do our part. We have to do our share. Missionaries have been sharing the gospel in South America for more than 100 years. You would think that that continent would be reached. Am I right? Not. There's still hundreds of people that are tied up in spiritualism and superstition. And there are masses of them that still haven't heard the gospel. You look at America. America has had Christian influence ever since its beginning. But still, there's hundreds of thousands of people in the United States that don't know Jesus Christ. Romans 10:13 tells us that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It tells us that all they have to do is lift up their voice and cry out to God, and they will be saved. So why are there literally billions of people in the world who have not called on the name of Jesus? Well, if we look at these verses, it gives us some essential elements necessary for people to know how to call on the name of the Lord. For people to know that there's hope in Jesus Christ. And I would like us to look at these essential elements today, because this is such an important thing. One essential element in people being able to respond to the gospel is hearing. There's two questions given to us in verse 14. The first question is, how can they call on the one of whom they have not believed in? And the second question is, how can they believe in one of whom they have not heard? The point of these two questions is, hearing is necessary for someone to be able to respond to the gospel. You can't respond to something you haven't heard about. You can't respond to something you don't know about. And so hearing is a very important part of us making sure the world can respond to Jesus. You know, there's a vast amount of evidence in nature that points a person to the reality that God must exist. I mean, you just look at creation, and you if you have any inkling toward how it was done and what is made up of, you have to realize that there is a divine being somewhere. There's too much things in nature that just are totally statistically impossible if someone wasn't behind the design. But the evidence for Jesus is something that was written. It was something that Jesus did in person. He came and lived on this earth as a human being, and He demonstrated the love of God in the flesh. And then that story was handed down to us through the Word of God. So even though you can look at nature and realize that there is a that God must exist, you cannot look at nature and know of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is something that people have to be told about. And while it's true that there are many who have heard the gospel and rejected the gospel, the problem is that the vast majority of people who are lost have never even heard it. They've never even heard the gospel. Jerry Rankin, who is the president of the International Mission Board, shares this with us. He said, more than 3,000 unreached people groups have no church in their midst, no Bibles in their language, and no missionaries working among them. Maybe a little hard for us to grasp, especially here in Texas, because you drive down about any street in Texas and you're going to find a church. You can go just about anywhere you want to go and buy a Bible. It's hard for us to understand and grasp that there are people that do not even have the opportunity to buy a Bible because it's not written in their language. They can't understand it. There's no Bible they can understand. But there are literally millions of people who may not hear Jesus because there's no one to tell them. And there's no Bibles for them to read. And it's essential for someone to go tell. It's essential for someone to be willing to put out the effort so that they can hear. As Paul wrote in Romans, how can they believe in one of whom they have not heard? What is the chance of having eternal life if they've never heard of how? You know, Jesus told us in John 14:12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. You ever stop and think about that? Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. What did Jesus do? You read the story of his life, and he went around finding people who had need. He went around seeking those who were lost. He went around sharing himself with those the world was passing by. You read stories of him touching the lame. You read stories of him touching the blind. You read stories of him touching those who had leprosy. You read stories of him touching those who were possessed. The point of it is, Jesus went around finding the sin sick, those who knew they had a need and had no hope, and he intervened on their behalf. The ones crying out for mercy was the one Jesus was seeking. The ones ready to hear the gospel were the ones he was finding. The task laid before us by our Savior and Lord was to make sure that everyone hears. To make sure that they have a chance to respond to His gospel, His truth. To find the ones crying out, needing hope, and give them Jesus. Well, there's another essential element in telling, or in this, and that is the issue of telling. Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes. You see, the gospel is is the solution for man's deepest need. It's the solution for the greatest problem that humanity has. Why it's called the good news. People who are suffering from hopelessness and despair will respond when someone gives them a message of hope. In today's troubled times here in America, the greatest thing that we as believers can be doing is we can be speaking out about Jesus. People look at the economy, they look at the situation. I don't know if you run into people everywhere, you hear people talking about what's happening. Is this company going to fold? Is that company going to fold? What's going to happen to our money? You know what? That's not the biggest issue. The biggest issue is what's going to happen to your soul. What's going to happen in eternity when you're gone from this place? And the best thing we can do is share the hope we have in Jesus Christ. We can bring them the good news that even though the world is in despair, we have hope. And the hope is in Jesus Christ. And as we do that, people will listen. Jerry Rankin again shares of visiting a West African tribal area. And in this particular area, there were many, many new churches. And so he asked the missionary in that area, he says, what's the explanation for all these people that are responding to the gospel? The missionary's answer was, the poor do not have much good news. In other words, they were responding to the gospel because they were being given hope. Hope that they didn't have. And everybody wants hope. Everybody wants to know that there can be a better future. The history of the early church, revealed in the 8th chapter of Acts, points out that when persecution broke out in Jerusalem, that the Christians in Jerusalem scattered all over the world. And as they scattered, what were they doing? They were telling those they ran into about the good news of Jesus Christ. And so literally all over the Roman Empire, Christian churches started popping up. Why? Because as people heard of the hope that came in Jesus, they were responding. Groups of believers were accepting the truth. Telling is essential. It's effective. Paul said, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. All of us would like to get good news. All of us want good news. Well, there's a third element. That is the element of going. We not only have to make sure they hear, we not only have to be willing to tell, we have to be willing to go. 15th verse says, how can they preach unless they are sent? It's easy for us to say, you know, that it's a missionary's job to go on the other side of the world. So that's what God called them to do. That's what God commissioned them to do. Let me tell you something. If God didn't lay it on their heart, they wouldn't do it. There's too much involved. There's too much sacrifice involved to do that if God didn't send you. But it's also really, really easy for us to say, well, you know what? It's the pastor's job to witness because he's been called. Yeah, we've been called. But I'm going to tell you, the calling of a pastor isn't the calling that this is referring to. Because the calling to go is a calling to everyone. It's a calling to all the disciples. When you look at the Great Commission, the commission was to go and make disciples of all nations, and it was a command to all of Jesus' followers. If you want to say you've been called to go, that's the call right there. Jesus said, go make disciples. And that call wasn't just to missionaries or to pastors. It was to everyone. We've all been sent. The commission in Matthew 28, 19 literally says, as you are going. You know what that means? That means the going is expected. Jesus expected us to go. He expected us to go day in and day out. Wherever we are. Whether it's near or far, whether it's at work or at play, whether it's traveling or not traveling, wherever we go, as we are going, we have been sent to tell. We have been sent to share about the love of Jesus Christ. Just this week, I had an experience that caught me a little bit off guard. And it's okay. I mean, I like surprises, and this was a great surprise. But I was literally leaving my house to go visit Adam to set up the baptism. And my neighbor pulls up beside me and kind of blocks me from leaving. And it's the neighbor that loves to talk, so I knew I was in trouble. But he said something that was just so tremendous. He was telling me that his son was getting ready to sign up to go to a Christian college. And of course, when you sign up to go to a Christian college, you have to write out your testimony. You have to explain to them why you're a believer and why you feel you should be in their school. And in writing out his testimony, his son had written that he had become a believer when he came to our house to go to Bible school. Caught me off guard. Part of the reason is we didn't know he'd ever made that commitment. The other reason is we didn't know he even needed to make that commitment. We just knew he needed to go to Bible school, and we took him to Bible school. See, his parents claimed they were believers. Now, what if we had assumed that he knew and hadn't invited him to Bible school? What would have been the outcome? It's important that we tell. It's important that we go. And it's always up to those who are followers of Jesus to go. It's always up to those who believe to seek out those who need to believe and tell them how. There's another element. There's a fourth element. And that is giving. You knew it was going to come to money, didn't you? You know what? This kind of giving isn't bad giving, though. Let me share with you why. How can everyone have the opportunity to call on the name of the Lord? How can we reach those 3,000 each people groups with the gospel? And have no churches, have no Bibles, have no missionaries. How can we give them the opportunity to hear? Well, you and I know that we all can't go. Some of us have physical reasons we can't go. Some of us have responsibilities that keep us from going because God has placed us here. The reality is it's up to all the believers. Not just us. It's up to every believer that's a part of the Christian walk. Our goal, we set a goal of $1,000. That's a pretty good goal for us. You know what? $1,000 isn't going to do a lot when it costs $41,000 a year for one missionary. Do you know what? It's that we can share with others in this goal. When I say it's up to all the Christians, there are 42,000 Southern Baptist churches in America. And all 42,000 of those Southern Baptist churches are working to raise the money for the Lighting and Christmas offering. The goal of the Lighting and Christmas offering this year is $170 million. You know what? When we pool our resources, we can meet that goal. I did the math on this one. I took 42,000 churches and divided it into $170 million. You know what that came up to? Less than $5,000 a church. Think about that. That's a doable goal when we all pull together. That's why the giving is important. That's why the giving is not a bad giving. It's a fun giving because as we give and as others give and we put all that together, we can accomplish what God wants to accomplish. Lighting and Christmas offering is all about making the resources available to provide for those who will go, who can go, who will learn the language and then translate it into a Bible for the people, who will go and give their time and their effort. It's all about providing the financial means so that they can go and be on site. But you know what? The giving doesn't just stop with our money. The money's important. Don't get me wrong. God wants us to give the money so we can send the missionaries. But the giving also needs to be giving in prayer. It needs to be giving of our time, praying for the missionaries as they go, praying for their protection, praying for their success, praying that the Holy Spirit will empower them and fill them so that when they're led to the people who are open to the gospel. One of the other things we need to be praying for is that they will have boldness to speak if there's opposition. We need to be praying that when they try to gain access into the country, the doors will be open. Part of the reason we don't have missionaries in some countries is they won't let us in. They won't let our people come into their country. So we can be praying that doors will be opened and that they can be entered and share the gospel. Praying, we need to be praying that God will call out all the people that are needed to go. If we need 3,000 more missionaries, that means God needs to call out 3,000 more people. He needs to be speaking to people's hearts who can go. And they need to be saying yes. The price of the good news that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, the price for God was His Son. That's what it cost God. You know what it cost us? It cost us giving, it cost us going, it cost us praying, and it cost us telling. That's the price so the people who can call on the Lord and be saved. Will you go and tell through giving? Will you go and tell through praying? Will you go and tell by going to your friends and neighbors and making sure that they've heard the gospel? Will you go and tell by telling someone about Jesus this week? The Lighting and Christmas offering is about everyone hearing the good news. Well, as we challenge you this morning, maybe you felt God speaking to you about your part in telling the good news. Maybe you're one that's sitting here and God's saying to you, you know what? I want you to be my missionary. I want you to go to a foreign country. If that's the case, we're going to stand here in a minute. We're going to sing a song, and it's going to be your opportunity to fulfill that calling on your heart by making public your decision to follow God. Maybe God is speaking to you about your giving. Maybe He's laid an amount on your heart that you need to be putting into the offering plate. If that's the case, don't hesitate. The envelope's in the back of the pew. Be sure and fill it with the amount God tells you to. Maybe this morning God has laid the name of someone on your heart that you need to go tell the gospel to. Don't hesitate. You need to leave right now, leave right now. It's that important. Maybe this morning God has spoken to you about your lack of relationship with Him. Maybe you've never made the commitment of calling on the name of the Lord to be saved. This morning is your opportunity. As we stand and as we sing, you can come forward and I will be glad to share with you how to become a believer in Jesus Christ. As always, our invitation time is your opportunity if you feel led to become a part of this church and to serve God here. You can come and say, we want to join this church. If God has spoken to you this morning, will you respond as we stand and we sing?
In all press there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely.